And I don't think you really understand how great you got it here. And by saying that, I'm going to say some things today and tomorrow that'll back up what I say. I don't know if you caught what he said. He just compared me and Brother Carter as like with one person. He said he got Brother Carter in for this meeting. That Brother Carter's the only one ever supported his work. I thought, Brother Carter, you should support this? That's pretty cool meeting. And I thought, I know he's talking about me. Now, that's a lot to live up to. You got to come up here right behind somebody saying that.
Brother Carter supported
it too. Yeah, but you and you said.
Yeah, then I messed up.
That's fine.
I'm old.
I'd rather be compared to him than anybody else in the world that's, you know, that's pastoring churches. That's a good thing.
A strange way to do things, but what a man of God.
Yes, sir. I want to read you two quotes, and I brought up Brother Carter for a reason. But we want to read the scripture first. Genesis 24, verse 1. It says, Abraham, and Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house, that ruled over all that he had, Put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven, the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go into my country, into my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, Peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again into the land from whence thou camest? And Abraham said unto him, Beware that thou bring not my son thither again. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, and that swear unto me, saying, Unto thy seed will I give this land, he shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And he said, And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath, only bring not my son thither again. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham his master, and sware to him concerning that matter. Now, if you've read the Bible and studied the Bible before, and you see in Genesis chapter 24, this man, this servant, is not named. Nobody knows his name at this point. And if you just read this chapter, previous chapter context is Eliezer. But why would his name not be mentioned? Well, he's a type of the Holy Spirit in this chapter. And by being a type of the Holy Spirit never takes credit for anything.
Yeah.
If you see his name advertised on a building to be in a service, that ain't him.
Amen.
He does one thing, and that's magnify the Lord Jesus. He magnifies the Son,
amen.
Just like the unnamed servant does. He'll magnify the Father and the glory due to him, but he'll never take credit of his own.
Right.
Abraham's the type of God the Father. He's sending the servant out, don't miss this, to find a bride for his son. And as that unnamed servant goes out, he's worried about what if they won't come. Well, you're free from those. But he finds a bride. Her name's Rebecca. And on the way back in, she's a type of the church, the bride of Christ, thus making Isaac a type of God the Son. You've got all these pictures in there, and then she shows up riding 10 camels back then. And I've heard a message one time preached on the 10 camels, and one was grace, one was faith. You know, it's all that was good. But those camels, as they rode them back in, was the transportation they got to get back here. And I thought we ought to name one rapture and one rupture and one the funeral home or whatever, you know, the many different ways God gets us back over there. But the quotes I want to read you are this. The man who won't trust anybody is a thief at heart. The man who is prone to believe everything bad about others is fundamentally crooked. The servant said, what if? He gave him both sides. Bring the bride, but if she's not. When people come along and they don't trust anybody, the person that said that quote, he says, a thief at heart. If they think everybody's fundamentally crooked, thinks everything bad about others, he said they're fundamentally crooked. Well, he could have been talking about Congress. But it was Dr. Bob Jones Sr. that said that almost 60 years ago.
Amen.
You know, back in the good old days, and everybody's, well.
Amen.
But I want to tell you another quote. The reason I bring up Brother Carter a while ago is something he told me. Here's the quote. If you ain't loyal, you ain't nothing.
Right.
So what is that? What the other guy said, just in a condensed form. If you ain't loyal, you ain't nothing. I want to preach to you tonight on the servant the Lord can count on. The servant the Lord can count on. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come to you tonight, God. We thank you, Lord, for great services. Thank you, Lord God, for the great singing, the great music. Lord, as we sang Sweet Hour of Prayer, we're reminded how great that time is to spend with you. And, Lord, the special music tonight, both specials, Lord, thank you for that. Thank you for the pastor of this church for standing by the stuff and being the servant you can count on. I pray, God, that you'll bless this meeting tonight. Help us, Lord God, to take in the Word of God according to Psalm 119, verse 18. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I pray, God, that you help me to preach tonight according to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, to preach the word, being it's in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Of course, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
This is the longest chapter in Genesis out of the first 25 chapters. And so far, you're getting God given more space to show a true servant than he does on how to create the world. Isn't that something? He said, God created the heavens and the earth. There you go. Now, let me talk to you about a servant, you know. It gives you the big, long chapter. And as I look at this tonight, I recognize the characteristics of a servant the Lord can count on. If you look at verse 2 in your text, the Bible says, and Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh. Now, as he says that, again, I point out to you, number one, the first characteristic, the servant forsakes his own name. I don't know that Eliezer lived to know Moses. I'm pretty sure he didn't. But either way, he wouldn't be in heaven right now saying, Genesis 22, 23, 24. Hey, they don't tell my name in there. A servant don't care.
Right.
A servant could care less. Do you know that behind every great evangelist, you know their name, there was a great song leader there? I met one of them. And you know what? Forgot his name. I'm just kidding. I know the guy's name. It just ain't coming to me. I'm old. That's why this is happening. But he didn't lead singing for Billy Graham or anything. He was Oliver Green's song leader. Preached a meeting with him, and we got to talk afterwards and sit down and eat and everything. And I was surprised at his young age. He's told how old he is. He's only like 70 or 75 when I met him. And I've read behind Oliver Green and heard him on the radio like everybody else has. He said, you want to hear a good story about Dr. Green? I said, sure. And I'm thinking we're going to hear about the revivals, all this other stuff. See, Oliver Green married his sister. So they always rode together to go to these revival meetings and things. And they were in a tent meeting where they were going to drive back to Greenville 2-3 hours. And just like me and Brother James Mills encountered fog one night on the side of a mountain, you could see this far in front of you. He said, are we going to stay tonight or going home? I said, we're going home, you know. It took us 5 hours to get home on a 2-hour trip. But he told that night, he said, we were behind this car. And Dr. Green's driving, and we're going down the road 2 miles an hour. Can't hardly see the taillights 10 feet in front of the car. We're going, and we're going, and finally the guy stops. And Oliver Green sits there. And he's getting madder. He says, they've been on the road 3 hours on a 1-hour trip. They thought, what is this guy doing? The spirit of road rage. Y'all ever had that one before? He says, so finally, Dr. Green shoves it in park, gets out of the car, walks up there to demand the guy tell him, why are you stopped in the middle of the road, sir? When he found out they were in that guy's driveway. They had followed him home all the way into his driveway. And that's the first time I've laughed at Oliver B. Green in my life. But I've never forgot that story. The servant forsakes his name. If you put your place in your Bible and hold it there at Genesis chapter 24... I want to show you a couple of passages. I've alluded to one a couple of times, but I'm going to show you this one. It's over in Philippians chapter 2. The servant will forsake his own name. Philippians chapter 2, and we're going to compare Scripture with Scripture as to not be misled by anything, including me. Philippians chapter 2, and we're looking over there at Genesis chapter 24, how the servant forsakes his own name. And in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, the Bible said, "Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus." And it says about him, "Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." But watch verse 7. "But made of himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." When they were crucifying Jesus, they thought it was game over. But he said, "I could call 10 legions down here of angels at any time." When they were smacking him in the face with his eyes covered up, saying, "Prophesy, Christ, who hit you now?" They didn't realize who they were hitting.
Amen.
Never mistake the fact that when you hit a servant, his master may be watching and you may be in trouble for that thing. There was a man that had tried some kind of goofiness over a church over in South Carolina one time, and the pastor told me, he said, "Well, do you believe that guy run down to the front of the church and hit me?" I said, "I believe God will kill him." I don't want God to kill him. You don't want God to kill him. He may even apologize, but it's too late now.
Yeah.
Can you imagine what the committee that condemned Jesus to death that night, smacking him in the face, felt like the second they died?
Yeah.
They're in hell, lift up their eyes and see who they were slapping.
Amen.
Can you hear him crying out now?
Yeah.
The servant forsakes his name, and it says he made of himself of no reputation. I know people right now that if they do anything, they got to talk about themselves for 2 solid hours. They promote themselves better than any of these singers and rock stars ever do. And they all have one problem. They're anything but a servant. Anything but that. And the crazy thing is, they don't even know other people. They talk about themselves so much. They don't know what to say about other people. Yeah, I like them or don't like them. That's about all they know about them.
Yeah.
And it's all based on whether they like them or don't like them. I got people right now, I don't agree with them. I love them in Jesus' name. We don't hang out with each other. I like them just fine. Some people, I told Brother Kirsten, I said, some people don't like me. I don't know why. You don't know why. But they don't. And I don't care. I may not like them. Who knows? I don't know. Depends on what day it is.
Yeah.
But I do know this. Out of everybody you know, the guy that's furthest away from God is the guy that makes a reputation out of everything he does. That guy.
Yeah.
It's all about him. The world centers around him. Or should we say her or the child or whoever. And the Bible says pride goeth before destruction, haughty spirit before a fall. If you're waiting to see somebody fall, probably you're the next one going to fall.
Yeah.
No reputation, form of a servant, it says. He humbled himself. Now listen to this. Jesus said in Luke 14, verse 11, "Whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbled himself shall be exalted."
Right.
John 7:18, "He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him." When I think about these verses compared to Philippians, and we go back over here to Genesis chapter 24, we don't even know this guy's name if we didn't read the previous chapter. He never even says his name. And that's the way we've got to be. We've got to forsake our name. When we get saved, we become what? This is a test, really. I need answers here. This is one I need your answer. And it's either wrong or right. What is it? When we get saved, we become a... That's not the answer I'm looking for, but that's right. But there's another one I'm looking for.
Servant.
We become a...
Servant.
So why is it some people get saved and they want to run things? You were running it before and it wasn't working out.
Uh-oh.
You let God have the thing. He can do it. Let him tell you how to do it. There was people that back when cars were made out of real parts in America and metal and all that you could work on a car.
Yeah.
There were more shade tree mechanics because those cars were easy to adapt to and work on. There was just one thing the manufacturer did, and they didn't tell y'all this, but you figured it out because it was real easy to figure out. Parts were not interchangeable from car to car. They did have enough sense to make sure the Ford radiator wouldn't fit inside a Chevrolet type thing.
Yeah.
Now, I guess it could with a lot of modifications, but normally that just didn't work.
Yeah.
But you could always count on this. Distributor cap, engine block, radiator, what's the alternator, and all that. Basic parts on every car. Nowadays, the engine's turned this way, those things are up under here, and this thing back here, and then you got 10,000 fuses to go to this thing and five computers, and that's just when you lift the hood.
Yeah.
I wondered back when we had auto mechanics in the late 1980s, they said computers will run things one day. Ah, Mr. Millwood, you're crazy. They're always going to need mechanics. Hope you took a computer degree when you took your auto mechanic deal. Because
yeah,
in about 10 more years, here's how we're going to fix cars. Let me show you how you do it. Watch carefully. All right, you can drive it home now.
Yeah.
I was sitting at a stop sign, and my car light came on and said, my tires were out of air or balance or something. And it being a newer car, I thought, well, what do I do about that? I took it into the guy, and I said, this happened, this light came on. Oh, that's nothing. So I'm waiting in front of the car for him. He goes and sits down in the driver's seat of the car, pulls the iPad up on the computer there in the car, taps it for a little bit, says, okay, you ready to go? I said, but you never even kicked the tires. And you never. He said, I'll check them if you'd like, but they were all fine. He fixed it with that little thing in the middle. That's pretty impressive. I mean, I really wasn't seeing that coming. I thought we'd have to get the air pressure thing out. But apparently there's a computer that tells you that from where he was sitting. I'm outside, he's inside, he knows what's going on. But listen to me. The servant does not make a reputation for himself. Listen, the whole world don't revolve around a servant. The servant sees how he can have the world revolve.
Right.
Keep it going. The second thing, second characteristic about a servant, if you look down at verse number 4, the Bible says, but thou shalt go into my country. You've heard the joke before that's told around here, haven't you? We have it back home. If a lady from another place comes to marry one of your kids, you know what the first question you ask is? Well, she's not good enough for her own family. Why is she wanting to marry into mine? I said we told it back there, too. I know this out here, too. You go in the south any direction, you run into a redneck somewhere. Don't take long. But if you look down at verse 7, the Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, which spake unto me and that sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto thee. His thing is to do what in verse 4? Go into my country and my kindred. Verse 7, the Lord God of heaven will make it happen. The servant not only forsakes his name, but he follows the Lord. He just let this unnamed servant in on the fact that God would direct the whole trip to get the bride and get back. And Abraham's not worried about him not finding a bride. Never once do you hear Abraham taking Valiums and Xanaxes and Prozacs and all this other stuff and saying, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? But just don't take Isaac back there with you. Listen to this. For all these nut jobs that say they've seen Jesus, they have not. God's not let him come back with the spirits yet.
Right.
There's your picture and type of it there. You're not taking my son back yet. There'll come a time when his son comes, but he sent the Holy Spirit to get the bride.
Right.
Now listen to this. That servant follows the Lord. And the Bible tells us, for a fact, in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. You ever heard a dummy say this? Well, God gives you some common sense. Sometimes you got to go off common sense. Not according to the Bible, you don't.
Amen.
And I'll tell you something about common sense. Ain't nobody got that.
Amen.
That went out 25 years ago. I don't forgot who the last person had it was. But they forgot to hand it to somebody else, and they went to heaven, and they left and took it with them.
Amen.
All we've got now is a bunch of people who, for whatever reason, think they know everything.
Amen.
Y'all know them too?
Yeah.
And they're trying to do everything on common sense, and we find out common sense is not common and nobody has it. And the next thing we find out, the whole time God said, trust in the Lord and lean not to thine own understanding. It says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Very simple instructions.
Amen.
But the best one is the part about lean not to thine own understanding. You'll find out God knows how to run your house, your job, your family, your church, your Sunday school class. He knows all that stuff.
Amen.
There's a fellow told me one time that they quit Sunday school. I said, why did you quit Sunday school? He's what he said. He said, we didn't have a big attendance. I said, who told you to have a big attendance to have Sunday school? Who told you if you didn't have a certain number, you couldn't have it? The guys that brought me along had to go through times when they showed up at prison to have a service. Brother Rennie told me this. He told you. And no prisoners would come out. I said, what'd you do? He said, I preached to the walls. I had to get that message out. God told me to preach. I wasn't going to preach the thing anyway. They used to have a thing when I went over there. Me and him preach exactly the same thing, right? But some guys liked him and hated me, and then they liked me and hated him. And we always come in there together. And there was always this one Tuesday every month, and we called it Two for Tuesday. You're worldly, useless radio station that played that. I knew it. I knew I'd catch you eventually. Listen to this. I done the 5 o'clock service. He done the 7 o'clock service. We could always count on none of the 7 o'clock guys would come hear me. They hated my guts. And the 5 o'clock guys wouldn't come hear him. They hated him.
Yeah.
So we started doing something every week. We started just swapping at random. Then sometimes he'd do both, and I'd do both, and he'd do 5, I'd do 7, things like that. They finally all started showing up and realized, hey, wait a minute, I hated that guy for the wrong reason. And one of them come and apologized and said, brother, I am so sorry. I said, what you sorry for? He said, well, I thought you was just a hateful individual and blah, blah, and I found out Chaplain Campbell the same way as you. I said, oh, he is, is he? I said, that's good. I'm glad you think he's hateful, too. But he said that, and he said, but I realize y'all are not hateful. Y'all just holler when you preach. Well, when I was younger, I hollered all the time because we never could afford a PA system, and you had to.
Yeah.
And plus, I was trying to preach to the third building over from where I at, and the doors closed, and I knew if I didn't holler real loud, they couldn't hear either. Or that's what I thought, anyway.
Yeah.
But the servant always follows the Lord, and when you trust the Lord and He leads you in the thing, He's going to take care of that thing somehow in some way. I think a lot of people fall down on the job when they quit following God and say, well, God's gifted and talented me with so many things, I should do this like this here. No, you need to go this way and find out he says do it, and then do it.
Amen.
Without all your little common sense that you think you got. You know when I found out I didn't have no common sense? When I had to live these verses in Proverbs 3. Once you find out that God knows more than you, it'll be a great day in your life, I promise you. You'll come to the point where you say, you know what? I really don't have to run everything. God has really got this. You'll sleep better at night. You'll drive better during the day. You'll walk with the Lord, and you'll feel so blessed to be able to be called His servant. And all you got is wait for His instructions to tell you. When I got saved, I thought, man, this is great. I'm going to heaven. Started going to church. I thought, this is great. There's some other people going to heaven. We can all be happy together about it. And then one day, we're reading the Bible, we're praying, we're going to church, and somebody brought up money. And I found out God was interested in spending my money. Now, some people won't give to a church, and the reason they won't, they think we are all chicken-eating thieves.
Amen.
Y'all walked in right to the good part. I mentioned chicken, here comes this guy. I'm not going to pick on you. You're nice. I'd rather say that. But we're sitting there, and I find out that God wants to use my money for what? And people say, well, for missions. I said, ain't somebody got to cut on the lights? Well, yeah, we use that too, but we want to get the gospel out around the world. You mean like the stuff we hear here is going to be put somewhere else? Well, I was all for it. I thought, that's great. I thought, wonder why everybody don't do this. I had no idea it's been in the Bible for over 4,000 years and nobody's ever even thought about it, you know. Then I found out something one day after I was pastoring. We were given the missions, but there was this thing called faith promise missions that if we did that, we could do even more for the Lord. In the meantime, people are saying, well, the greatest thing is this organization. We can feed the world in 6 months, but feeding the world is not missions. That's benevolence. It's different. It may be needed, but it's not necessary. And then we figured out something. Everything that comes along and told us was a missionary wasn't a missionary because we could test them by the book. And if they didn't line up with the book, they wasn't a missionary. You know what the number one criteria is? They got to be out of a church just like this one. If they're not, they're not of the Lord. I don't care who you say calls you to do it. If you don't come out of the local church, God didn't call you to do it. Well, I am so offended. God bless you. Listen, Psalm 119, verse 165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them.
Amen.
Do you have that up here? I thought you had that. You got the other one. Okay. But listen to this. If somehow, in some way, telling you that offends you, I already know you don't love the Bible. And I know you're not right.
Yeah.
But listen to this. Somebody told me one time, I said, you can't prove in the Bible that God uses local church ministries like that, that they got to be out of the local church. Name me one person. I almost laughed about it. This is a test. Because it's surely not a good joke. Because I started this week off preaching about it. Acts 13, Apostle Paul comes out of a local church at Antioch.
Right. Yeah.
Number one missionary right there. Paul and Barnabas sent out of the local church. And God even told them to do it. And told the rest of the church to send them out.
Right.
And then listen to this. As Paul got out there, God didn't like his name and changed his name from Saul to Paul.
Yeah.
He said, your name everywhere you go, I think we need to change your name to Paul because nobody likes Saul.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's why they did not. I don't know. I just thought it was funny. But I know this, the servant follows the Lord. In Genesis 24, if you look down at verse number 4 again, but thou shalt go into my country, into my kindred, and take a wife, he says, unto my son Isaac. Very plainly, here's the characteristic of the servant. This is the servant God can count on. He's the servant that finds the Son of God a wife. God's not wanting you to go out and build toilets and teach people how to use those things. I've heard that called missions. I've heard where they went and dug a well in the country and said, that's missions. Again, that's not missions. Missions always is naming the name of Christ and preaching the gospel where neither one of them is known.
Amen.
That's missions. That's it. And if the servant that's forsook his own name, if he's going to be the servant the Lord can count on, he's got to be the servant that can find the son's wife. You have a great gospel tract here that your pastor put out the other day on a 5x7 index card, it's an index card, but it's a postcard, I guess, size. On the front of the thing, it explains everything with one glance. There are people on earth, people in hell, and people in heaven, and a cross gets them to heaven.
Yeah.
Real simple. Y'all got one of them? I would ask me to show you one, but I pray some of you couldn't pull one out. I say that to say this. I say that to your shame. You should be able to give gospel tracts out to anybody. They say, well, I need to know how to go to heaven, but you ain't got time to stay there. Be able to, you know, pull one out. Here's one over here from this church. Here's a thing over here. Do something. I started watching guys coming through my church, and I started weeding out evangelists. Here's why I weed them out. Do they have a gospel tract? Any gospel tract. Do they know what a gospel tract is? Have they ever tried to win anybody to Jesus? Have they tried to win somebody to Christ? Well, if they don't do that, why are they here? Are you saved? And you ask them, have you ever told them? Well, I tell them when I feel led to. Well, feel led to more often.
Amen.
You know, tell somebody. I've heard guys preach a week, never heard about the cross. I'm talking about good men now. Never mention the cross, never mention Jesus, never mention the law that brings us to Christ. Nothing. But I've watched church members as a pastor, as a visiting preacher, and everything else who could not win a soul to Christ and have never even tried in 40 years. I looked around the other day and thought about something I've almost seen 3 decades go by watching myself, and I thought, I wonder how these older preachers must have felt back when I started. You know them guys on the ordination council?
Yeah.
Wonder what they thought. Yeah, I'll sign his paper. I don't know if he's going to make it. He said he believes, right? I hope he does, you know. But the servant always goes out and finds the son's wife. And I'm going to tell you how to find the one you're looking for. Jesus made a statement, and I don't want to tell you where it's at. I want you to find it later. You don't have to tell me you found it. Just tell God you found it. He'll remember I told this. I probably won't remember, but God will remember. There's a thing in the Bible where Jesus says, I don't work except where I see the Father work. There's this doofus back home that asked me, would I go to the gay pride parade and street preach? I don't preach them things. I'm not taking a church group down there to see a bunch of perverts from San Francisco act the fool on the southern streets.
Yeah.
Should be hearing a lot more shouting out of y'all over that than anything. They're not there. Listen, they're not there for gay pride. They're there to recruit your children.
Amen.
That's
what they're there for. I told somebody this a while back, and we'll share it with you. You know why they have to recruit? It's because they can't reproduce.
Amen.
Somebody told me that I bash gays. I said, I dare you to play the tape where I do. Double D dog dare you to do it. But I can show you where you've been bashing our crowd for quite a while.
Amen.
Right.
They'll make blanket statements and say it's about Christians, and it's not about Christians. It's by some straw man that the guy that recruited them made up.
Yeah.
Now listen to me. The wife goes out, listen, we're finding the bride for Christ, and what we look for is we see where Jesus is working on somebody. I've watched people in services sit there and cry the whole time I'm preaching.
Yeah.
What do they need? I don't know. But I guess they probably need to get saved. Maybe they just need to get right with God, something like that. Either way, after church, I always try to find my way to that person to see if they need saved, what they need. So what is that? What the Bible said. You see the Son working, you go work where He's working. You see, I mean, the Father working, do where He works at. And you know this, there are people. Brother Kirsch and I was at a food line in Gaffney. There's a guy coming through with a shopping cart. Did we baptize that guy? Was he one of the guys baptized? I think he was. He was one of our converts, not God's. Let me put it that way. Anyway, we hadn't seen him in a few months. He showed up to church. He wanted to get saved and blah, blah, blah. And then his wife came back and he couldn't find the church.
Amen.
I don't know what it is about this Arkansas air, but I have been dry mouth ever since I got off the plane.
Stay that way.
Okay, so I'm normal for a change. Okay.
Amen.
The guy's in food line. He's got a bunch of beer loaded up in his thing. He's ready to check out, and he runs right into us. Couldn't you imagine being a drunk that's tried to go into church, act like you're saved? That day, that time. And he gets in front of the buggy, and he's about as big as this thing. And I'll be as buggy, and this is him. So we saw everything, you know. And he's sitting there telling us, I'm planning on getting back. How many years has that been? Do you remember 10, 15, maybe 15 years at least? I ain't seen him since.
Yeah.
Be wary when people come in like that.
Amen.
Because you know what happens? If Honey Bun rolls back in, he's turning back into a drunk dog.
Yeah, amen.
He's not getting converted because God's working on him.
Right.
I learned, somebody told me this a while back, said if they come down to the altar smacking bubblegum, send them right back to their seat.
Amen.
I don't have to have my name in the store. I don't care. I could care less about them and whoever else, but they want to publish how many you had converted on this past Lord's Day. Mm-hmm. And the reason being, people lie.
Yeah.
Amen.
My grandmother, she's in heaven now. She told me something when I first told her I was called to preach. She said, "Let me tell you something." And I knew what it was. She was mad at her preacher about it, whatever it was. She said, "Don't ever ask people to raise their hand if they're saved." I said, "Why?" She said, "Because people will lie, and that's a smack in God's face right in His own house." I said, "Well, I never thought of that." She said, "Well, you think about it." That's the last advice I got. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Are y'all saved? Don't lie.
Yeah.
And I knew what she was talking about. The pastor at the time, if anybody here needs, if you're here saved, they'd raise your hand, they'd raise their hand. There's some of you couldn't raise your hand. If you want me to pray for you, you want to come. And I understood, but she didn't like it. She didn't like it at all. And if you had asked Grandma, why do you not like it, Grandma? Well, John the Baptist never done it. Paul never done it. Jesus never done it. Oh, okay. Now it's starting to make sense, you know. But God said this, in John 6:44, Jesus said, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I'll raise him up at the last day."
Yeah.
If you ask somebody you saved, and they say, "Well, nobody can know for sure," they're probably not.
Yeah.
They're probably not. Because everybody God saves is eternally saved.
Amen.
So how'd they get eternal? Because eternal moved in from the outside in. Now it's everlasting life. They have a day they got here, but their departure date here is not their last date. They got everlasting life. In John 14:16, listen to this. "And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever." Who is that? The unnamed servant.
Amen.
He'll listen. When Eliezer found her, he was with her all the way back home. You ought to shout right there, by the way. You ain't listening to me. When you get saved, all the way home, he's there with you.
Amen.
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 Right. Y'all still ain't getting this good, are you listening?
Yeah.
God and the Spirit of the Holy Ghost, when He saves you, He don't walk off from you.
Amen.
That's right.
Remember, He said, "I'll be with you always." That's how He does it.
Yeah.
He's with you from there on out. There's not a tear you shed He don't watch you hit the floor.
Right.
There's not a bad feeling that you get about anything He don't have a bad feeling with you. Because He was tempted as all points as you are, yet without sin.
Right.
And every time the devil comes your way, He comes face to face with him.
Right.
You ever heard about that kid that went to school and this big old guy that had failed the fifth grade 5 times? And he goes to fifth grade, he's a little bitty guy, that guy's got a mustache and a beard. And he said, "They're picking on all the fifth graders." And he comes to this one kid, and that kid says, "If you touch me, my big brother's coming to school tomorrow." And he slapped that kid right across your face, and "I'll run over him too." He didn't tell him that, you know, he is a late in life child and his big brother was 27 years old. Next day, "Mr. I should be in the 10th, in the 5th there." Here comes a grown man in, grabs him up by the scruff, throws him in the wall and said, "Which boy was you picking on yesterday?" He said, "Are you one of the big brothers?" He said, "Yep." How do you think God treats the devil? Except he don't have to wait till tomorrow.
Yeah.
You turn from temptation, Christ gave you the door out of it, big brother steps in. And I don't mean the government.
Amen.
Listen to this. The servant finds the wife. The Bible tells how he finds it. In John chapter 6, he convicts of righteousness and judgment and all those things. And he does that perfectly because he's God just as much as God the Son's God and God the Father's God. This unnamed servant that's a type of the Holy Ghost, he went to the right place to find this bride. And you know what's funny? It looks like he accidentally ran into her, but he didn't. This was all a plan. Remember, Abraham said that he's going to send his angel before you to do this thing. And if you're going to be the servant God can count on, he'll send his angel to take care of you. Look over at verse 66. The Bible tells us when he brings her back, it says this. After Rebekah's met Isaac, and she, of course, you see all that down through there in this passage, it says verse 66, "And the servant told Isaac all things he had done." And the reason he does this after he finds the son's wife, the servant favors the son. That's how we know when it's the right spirit. Somebody's talking about the Holy Ghost. Now listen to me. You can go to a church and sing there's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place, and it be the wrong spirit.
Right.
Amen. Well, I don't like if churches don't have the Holy Ghost. Please define that with the Bible. Go ahead. I've got all the time in the world. Well, it's in there. Well, if you're basing your whole church attendance on where the Holy Ghost is and you can't tell them from the Bible, I think you might be in the wrong church.
Amen.
Get this. I got a Bible that tells me where the Holy Ghost is at any time. And I know where Jesus Christ is at any time. You know where He's at? Oh, He's in our church. No, He wasn't. He's at the right hand of the Father until the time He comes to His church. But he showed himself up to Paul. Yes, he had qualification for apostles, not to start a storefront church, but to have seen Jesus Christ in the flesh and be able to raise the dead.
Right.
Two things they can't do. One, they can lie about and you don't know, but the other one, they can't do it all.
Amen.
I've met two in your town already. Here. Out of the 1,699 people, we've already met two of them. Isn't that crazy? You come here to win people to Jesus, you come to the right place.
Amen.
Listen to this. An apostle's qualification, seeing Christ in the flesh, can raise people from the dead and heal any manner of sickness. They, by the way, were only 12 of them guys. I just read in Revelation this morning that towards the end of the book there's 12 foundations there with the name of the tribes of Israel. Then there's 12 stones with the name of all the apostles. So if you tell me there's more than 12, God don't agree with you. He's going to have 12 names up there. How about that? And He gave some apostles, not all apostles. What did they do? They wrote the epistles. How do you know that? It rhymes. Apostles wrote the epistles. You thought the epistles were the wife of the apostles. I'm sorry. But listen to this. The servant favors the son. And Jesus said about him in John 16, verse 14, He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and show it unto you. Now, if you wrestle with that verse real long, you're going to find out he's talking about writing the scriptures down. That's how they got it. And you know who gave it to them? The Holy Ghost. You know what they thought? He so magnified the Son, they thought it was Jesus talking to them. Isn't that something? The Holy Ghost never takes credit. I was in a church one time where they were prophesying and doing all this stuff. I'd been saved maybe a couple of months. I just got my first Bible, my first tie, and learned how to tie. You know, I was early on. Going this thing, and I'm sitting there and come to find out I'm the only one there with a Bible. No kidding. There were no other Bibles but my black Scofield Bible I brought with me that night. And I watched them take the pulpit and put it down there and the communion table bring it up here and do all this other stuff. And they were talking about, if God deals with you, you'll know it. And I said, yeah, until that. Not a bunch of dumb thumps in there. There's some smart people. Some of them are my football coaches. I thought, surely they're not. Then it dawned on me. They're mama's boys, so their wife's running them and telling them where to go.
Amen.
And I watched this, and it finally, I was sitting there, I just started reading my Bible because I thought, this is foolish. They don't even have a Bible open in the place trying to have church. Nobody ever read from the scriptures the whole night. And I ran across this, He shall glorify me. Boy, the Holy Ghost will magnify Jesus and lift Him up and say He's the only way to heaven. He's the God that created everything, sustains everything, just like He had them write down in this very book over there in the New Testament. And when you get back over here in the Old Testament, you'll start to see pictures and types of Him and how they fulfill themselves in Him and how He... And you're sitting there looking at that, and if you're getting all that, that's the Holy Ghost doing that.
Right.
I noticed that when we get down to verse 67, though, a strange thing occurs. This is the servant we said that the who can count on, that you can count on, or that the denominational office or the mission board can count on. No, this is the servant God can count on. You'll fail every organization and God, but God's servant won't fail the Lord. It says in verse 67, and Isaac brought her unto his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife. And he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. I read that verse of Scripture, and I know that the servant finds the son's wife, and the servant favors the son, but I also know this, the servant finishes the job. Did you hear your preacher say, I can't remember, I've been here 15, 20 years, or what it was. He's been here so long, he can't even remember how long he's been here.
Amen.
Uncommon. Brother Carter was at Trinity 31 years. Some of y'all are not even 31 years old. Then you got some guy going around, he's come to town, he's the new greatest, biggest thing, and he's been preaching 6 months. I'm in here till the end, boys. Well, tell me that in 10 years. Because when you put a mark on them guys and start putting a target on saying, that's the next big thing, the devil says, thank you for that. And he'll take him out. All too much in my life, I've watched the next big thing be took out by the strangest things. But it's usually what they used to rely on got them.
Amen.
This boy back home was a heroin addict, got saved, got gloriously saved, never went to rehab. Just got saved, walked right out of the thing. He got in church, got a wife, started having kids. God called him to preach. And listen to this. If he come in to preach on a Sunday night for just a service to fill in, there wasn't nothing for 10 people to get saved. God put that boy into evangelism. I mean, you're talking about God using somebody like that. 3 years, was it? Maybe two. Needle back in his arm. I sat in a revival meeting one night, and I don't like to preach everything God gives me, but I've learned to go ahead and preach if it don't make sense. That I'm sitting there, and I was praying earlier that day, and I'm going to this church, and it was the guy with the shirt out of his pants we was talking about earlier, and preaching for him. And he's a good old guy. He's a redneck, man. He'd come to church looking halfway decent, but any other time, he looked like a bum. But he was sitting there, and he had this pastor and this preacher boy and the pastor's wife come in. She played the piano, and they're singing Beulah Land. And I mean, you talking about that they were running the aisles and shouting. I'm sitting there with Luke 16, 19 through 31, going to preach on hell right behind them. Nobody knew that but me. I'm sitting there saying, God, do you hear that? God, I don't care. I told you to preach on this. But Lord, really, I mean, I'd preach this tomorrow night, you know. I was like, no, preach on this.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there and I thought, whatever. So I looked in the back of my Bible and I forgot all my other outlines, so I really had no choice at that point. I preached on hell. That church died on me worse than anything a funeral home ever has. I had one person tell me, say, how in the name of God did you not get the message to preach on heaven tonight? And then people sang that. I said, look, I got enough trouble to find out what God wants me to preach on without you telling me, hit the bricks. Amen. So that wasn't nice. I wasn't in a good mood that day. I was young, brother. I was young. About 6 months later, that guy that was the preacher boy showed up at our Bible college. The guy was about, that's the next biggest thing. I put my head down and thought, Lord, please protect that guy. Two years into his ministry. Come to find out, he didn't have one girlfriend. He had three. I know why I preached on hell that night now. It took me 4 or 5 years to figure that thing out, but I trust God anyway, and I think you should too. Do what God says or what anybody else says.
Amen.
If it's in this book, trust it. If it don't make sense, the servant finishes the job. Your pastor is going to hear something one day that a lot of preachers never hear. They're going to hear the voice of God Almighty say, well done, thou good and faithful. Isn't that something? He's wrestling with things, trying to find the will of God. Every time he reads the Bible, he's looking for your face and what to help you out with. Every one of you. But see, let me say something to help you out tonight. Dear Dad, you're also pastor. Granddad, you're also pastor.
Right.
And if you're looking in this book to try to help me, I don't care how we're related or if we're related at all. Let her rip, son.
Right, man.
You know why? That'll be the guy that'll help you, because at least while he's praying, he's got you on his mind. and not some big fat paycheck from some denominational board trying to pat him on the back and tell him how cool he is.
Right.
They told us, when I first went to Bible college, we need to be change agents in these churches. Bring them up to date. But God says, seek the old past. What we're talking about is changing their style of worship because it's just old and out of date. Old and out of date. Have y'all heard what we've been singing about this week? Jesus, that's not out of date.
Amen.
Well, it's just the style we don't like. Yeah, I thought about that for 2 seconds one time, and I started reading the Bible about be ye separate and come out from among them, saith the Lord. I got saved in 1994. If I walked in a bar in 1994, in a church in 1994, which I did, early in 1994 and then later in 1994 church, those were two very completely different places. They were decorated different.
Yeah.
Their music was definitely different.
Yeah.
And there was always this layout in churches you could always look for. You had people out here, a guy up here yelling at you, telling you what not to do and what to do. A piano on one side, an organ on the other, occasionally a guitar, bass guitar somewhere in the place or something. Or, God forbid, you go into mountain churches, you had a dulcimer, a banjo, and some other instrument that they've invented up, something, you know. And there was never violins in church back then, they were all fiddles. And you'd see that stuff and think, man, what's wrong with that? What year is it again? This not, where we at? 1994, 2021, depending on which building I walk into, some places, I don't know whether I'm in a bar or a church. I walked in a place a while back to a funeral, and I thought, oh my God, this looks like the last bar I went in. Black on the walls, dim the lighting when the guy got up, and he's up there going, yeah, you know, and blah, 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 and blah, blah. And he don't sound like a preacher at all. He never said, here's what the Bible says. Not one time. He told us how cool their church was. And I'm thinking, he's trying to recruit to this church while my friend's dead body sitting right there. You're talking about a low skunk. That's about, that's like worse than smelling on the side of the road. That's one that's got in your house.
Yeah.
They went to play some worship music. I want everybody to worship with us. You know what I heard? I heard Paul Stanley and Gene Simmons and all them guys. And Phil Collins. Y'all are laughing. I'll make you cry. Conway Twitty and Willie Nelson. DJ Jazzy Jeff. Whoever else. But immediately it dawned on me, they're not going to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. They're not doing what God wants people to do, and that's to be separate from the world. If you go to church, I do believe, and I believe the Bible teaches this, that ought to be a separated, sanctified sanctuary where God meets with His people.
Amen.
If you paint the walls black, remember the nightclubs do that for a reason. Because men love darkness rather than light.
Right.
Come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord. Not saith your pastor or me or anybody else. God wants you to come out from among them. But here's the best part. And I will receive you.
Amen.
You got to turn from something to turn to somebody. And if you ain't turned from that, you never turn to anybody. You're still walking with your common sense right up here. And on top of all this, you're not a servant. Some people think that the servant has got to be the pastor. You've read your Bible this way, didn't you? You read it from right to left. It's English. We're going left to right. Everybody is God's servant that's saved. The only problem we get into is people try to think this is a political game and they try to work their way up the denominational ladder. I'll be a deacon until I'm be associate pastor, then I'll be the pastor and I'll have made it to the top. Guess what? We ain't got no structure here.
Amen.
You know what our command structure looks like? It's a big flat thing. That's it. There's no big I's and little U's. We're just all the same. Said, but we put his name on the sign. Yeah, he's the pastor. That's his job. I want my name on the sign. You a little bit too high up there, fat round. Get back down here where the servants are.
Amen.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I got criteria for I preach for somebody, and one of the things I don't preach for is the song leader's name being on the sign.
Yeah.
That's the brown M&M. I better not find in the bowl when I'm looking at the M&Ms right there. I'm gonna throw things out the window and everything else. I don't like that. I know what that is. He's the associate pastor or the real pastor. Pastor such and such and music leader such and such. So my grandma's one. Well, bless your heart, I ain't preaching for your grandma then. You follow me? I don't do that. There's just some places I don't go. I'm telling you tonight, if you want to hear well done, thou good and faithful servant, you have to be one. You got a great example in Genesis 24 of a no-name servant that followed the father's commands, knowing he'd be led to the right place to find a wife for the son and come back to the son and report what just happened. When you hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, then you tell him why. It's called the judgment seat of Christ. Some people's going to go into heaven and hear this. Come here. Can you imagine you die, you're leaving behind your relatives, and a second be asked from bodies, praise the Lord, and you regret you made the trip a second later? You wasn't serving. You didn't serve anybody. It's all about me. Look what I can do. No, look what Jesus can do.
Amen.
Be His servant. You've only got a very short while to do it. The Bible says your life is but a vapor. It appears for a while and vanisheth away. You've got very little time. Use that time for the Lord. So how will I know? He left you a whole book on it. So how do I find out? Look for Jesus in every verse, in every chapter, and don't go to the next one until you find Him. And then when you find Him, see what it is, go to the next one. If you have problems, come to your pastor. He's the pastor and teacher. I doubt very seriously God would put him here if he didn't know how to answer every question you got, or at least go find the answers. Isn't that cool? He might actually know. Oh, you're just old-fashioned. Good. That'll probably help your grandchildren if he's old-fashioned. We're going to have a modern church. They got one down there. I passed three on the way here and just get turned into this way. And I'm going to tell you something. They don't care about you. You're a number.
Amen.
We had 10 visitors today. Well, good for you. I hope you have 100. And then 100 after that and 100 after that. But don't brag on them. You only brag on the Son. Pride goeth before what? That sounds like that hurt. Yeah. Because God wants you to be a servant. There's one word in the Bible. Nobody knows how it goes. I'm going to tell you what the word is. Brother Kirk's telling you how this word works. I watched him last night. It's the word yield. I'm kidding. He knows what it means. But when you see a yield sign, that don't mean floor it. You know what yield means? If there's a guy coming, let him go. That's all that means. There wasn't a guy coming, he took off. The Arkansas police looked at us and went, well, he's going to come lock us up. We're not going to church tonight. And we haven't ate yet. But if you'll do what the Bible says in that word, yield to the Spirit, you'll never have a problem being a servant. Pastor, you come on up here.